Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Will Stevenson.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us for Galesburg Live on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL on this Saturday, January 11th. I'm Will Stevenson. As I said the other night on Galesburg's Evening News, let me be the last to wish you a happy new year. Glad you're with us for our, I guess it is our second program of 2020. I guess I didn't do the first one, but Eric was on last week with that. And Eric and I switched a couple of dates so I could do this weekend instead. And I appreciate that. And I appreciate you listening today because, as always, we'll have a couple of hours worth of great and interesting conversations. In our second hour at 8:15 or so, I'll talk with Ken Springer, the president of the Knox County Area Partnership for Economic Development, about what all happened in terms of economic development here in Galesburg and in the area last year. And we'll talk about other things that may be in the offing for 2020. So stay tuned for in the next hour. But in this hour, there's a very cool thing that is being developed for one of Galesburg's parks. And I thought we'd talk about that and maybe some other issues related to that here in depth this morning. It's called a story walk. We're going to find out what that is and how that can help kids and really kind of help our parks, among other things, with some of the people that are helping make that happen. It's an initiative that in part was developed and funded through the Heart and Soul Project, the Galesburg on Track project here in Galesburg. And that's why former, he doesn't like the word retired, Fire Chief Tom Simpkins is here to talk about that from the Heart and Soul end of it. And also Parks and Recreation Director Tony Alignestel is here, and one of the main driving forces behind the importance of this, Melinda Jones-Rhodes with the Galesburg Public Library, and they are all in studio this morning. Good morning. Thanks for coming in, all of you.
Thanks for having us.
Very glad to have you. Tom, I will start with you since I haven't talked to you since you gave up your last job. How's quote-unquote retirement going for you?
It's going great that you called me Tom, not Chief. Wow.
I have to do that now because I can't call you Chief because you're not.
Well,
although you're really
great.
Always going to be Chief in my heart.
Well, thanks, Will.
You know. How's things going for you in that regard?
Things are going wonderful, yeah.
You've been pretty busy.
It's been about 2.5 months, and I've had a lot of projects to keep me going, and it's not been sitting around, but it's kind of odd, to be honest.
You did job number one, though, when you leave a job like that and quote-unquote retire, and that's the facial hair that showed up all of a sudden. What the heck?
Yeah, you know, somebody said I was growing a beard. I said, well, I was always growing the beard. I was just shaving it off every day.
Oh, there you go.
I just don't enjoy shaving very much.
Well, it's both a necessity and an evil, so at least for me anyway, I understand that. But since this first segment is one of the short ones in the program, I'll just talk to you first here, Tom. At least in regards to your old job, Randy Hovind took over a couple of weeks after you left the job. A longtime battalion chief and fire marshal in the department. Sounds like that might be a pretty good choice. You would support.
Yeah, I was very happy that they went internal, and Randy was the guy for the job. I'm excited about that. He'll do a fantastic job. He's a hard worker, and I'm also thrilled that next Monday there'll be a promotion of Brad Stevenson to deputy chief, something we've needed for a long time, and I'm excited that for the department and the city that Brad's just a fantastic resource for us, and he'll be a great operations and training chief.
Yeah, let me ask you about that just for a second, because that's something the city council here recently did, kind of going to a deputy chief structure, if you will, for both the police and fire departments. From your perspective, you're saying that was needed, at least for the fire department?
Yeah, I think it's a much better flexibility in it. It's not a much of a cost to the city, about a $7,000 cost, and it allows the city manager and the fire chief to put the person in the place that needs to be there, sometimes based on the skills of the chief officer and what his background is. You need to be able to kind of handpick somebody to put in there that's going to, you know, take care of some of the other jobs to support that, the chief. And I don't know, means it is a rank above the union, out of the union. It doesn't have to be tested for, so it can be hand-selected. Which really at that level, you need to put the right person in the job.
Yeah, it's not one of those things. It seems to me that you just pick your friend. You know, you have to find somebody that's qualified and is able to handle the responsibilities.
And I'm sure that's the same thing in the police department. It creates much better teamwork aspect of the two people at the top of the departments.
For sure. So it sounds like that's going to be a good thing for your old stomping grounds, if you will.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, very good.
Does that bring concerns about staffing the rest of the department when you kind of change the structure like that, or it seems like it might work out all right?
No, not really. It's not really all that much of a change. Yeah. I don't think the guys will see it that much. It just allows, like I said, some good flexibility, an obvious number two person, and it creates a slot for other people to kind of, you know, aspire to and move into, and I don't know. I just think it's something that's been – we had a deputy chief years ago.
Yeah.
It worked
well,
but with all the cuts we made, we had ended up cutting that position. This seemed like a logical step to put back in.
I know you talked about this on the morning show back when you departed, but I imagine you must think that you're leaving the place in pretty good shape, right?
Oh, yeah. I've always said that the most person that they could probably do most of that would be the chief, because really it's a support position, and when fires and happen stuff, we have some really qualified officers over there, and the department is probably going nothing but upward.
Well, I think we've proven, though, in my mind, that we can't do without you around here, Tom, because you're still involved with the Heart and Soul Project and the reason why we've brought you here today. So you've definitely kept busy, at least, and you've been involved in that since the very beginning.
Yeah, and well, thanks for that sentiment. I'm sure a lot of people think maybe you can do better without me.
But, yeah,
I enjoy being in the community.
I know, Tony, and you.
Yeah, it's awesome. Galesburg. I love Galesburg, and I just like being involved. My wife, what does she call it? FOMO. I have FOMO, fear of missing out.
I get that.
I get that a lot, and I've tried to back off of that. It's been a little difficult, but it's great.
But that's all right. But maybe for folks who don't know, with your involvement in that, what led you to kind of be, and I know we've talked about that before, but what led you to be involved with the Heart and Soul Project, and what kind of keeps you involved in it?
Well, Josh Gibb over at the foundation asked me to get involved.
The Galesburg Community Foundation.
Yeah, a good friend and do about anything. Matter of fact, I'm having lunch with him after this. But and get a table, Josh. I'm probably going to be late. But
fortunately, this isn't airing till Saturday, so he'll never know if you're going to be late.
Well, and the reason I keep involved is it's really about hearing the voices of people that don't often get heard in Galesburg. That's we always say heart and soul is three things. It's number one, involve everyone, which is something that a lot of times doesn't get done, and that means actively, proactively going out and involving everyone. And number two is finding out what matters most. What are the values of people in Galesburg, the common values, not what separates us, but what brings us together. And number three is playing the long game, which is what we're here today to talk about.
Yeah.
Putting in things in the community that speak to the eight values, or as many of them as possible. So we've structured this grant to do that, a grant funded through the foundation, supported by the city of Galesburg, some donations, and the Orton family's Heart and Soul venture from Vermont.
And on that note, we'll take a break and get into more details specifically about the Story Walk project when we come back, and we'll bring in Parks and Rec Director Tony Eligny-Estill and Melinda Jones-Rhodes from the Galesburg Public Library, as well as Tom Simpkins on behalf of the Story Walk project. We'll explain all about it next as Galesburg Live continues on this Saturday morning at WGIL. Good morning. This is Galesburg Live on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Good morning. I'm Will Stevenson. Thanks for joining me this morning. Next hour, Ken Springer from the Knox County Area Partnership for Economic Development joins us. But as I alluded to in some of the commercials, the promos you've heard for this program leading up to today, this is a different type of development, you might say, we're going to talk about first here. Tom Simpkins, former fire chief and still involved in the Galesburg on Track project, is with us. Also, Tony Eligny-Estill, the Director of Parks and Rec for the City of Galesburg, and Melinda Jones-Rhodes from the Galesburg Public Library are here as well. We'll talk to Tony and Melinda later about other things unrelated to this, but I couldn't help myself with talking to Tom first here. But I appreciate all three of you again coming in for sure. Melinda, I'm going to start with you because this idea really kind of started with you in a large way, didn't it?
So by no means did we come up with the concept of Story Walk.
Sure,
it's a national program. It was developed out of a library in Vermont, and it's kind of been circulating in the library world for a few years now. And one of the branches in Peoria, one of their public library branches, put in a story walk. And we thought it would be something that would be really well received here in Galesburg, and especially with our proximity to a number of really nice parks here in our community. But there is a significant funding component of the project that comes along with it that we definitely needed help in order to be able to bring this project to fruition.
Talk to me then about what exactly this is. I can kind of conceptualize, I can visualize it in my head, but for those who may not be able to, this it really kind of in a unique way kind of I would say brings children's stories to life. Is it as simple as that?
Well, honestly, it is when you hear the word story walk, it is pretty much as simple as it sounds. Yeah. It is bringing a story, and normally it is a children's book because adult books are significantly longer usually than children's books.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to put War and Peace on one.
Yeah, that'd be
these,
a really long walk. That would be like the Appalachian Trail story walk.
Exactly. We have to get into a national park for that. Yeah.
But a story walk literally takes a book and brings it outside into nature. It involves, in our case, it'll be aluminum or wooden posts and kind of like the message centers that you'd see at like a trailhead or a public park. And we install the pages of a storybook into those little message centers, and children are directed to walk from page to page of a story. So it combines literacy, which is something that we are passionate about at the library, and nature and getting outside and exercise, which are all things that I would imagine that Tony and the Parks Department are passionate about. So it's a win-win, I think, for all of us.
Tony, let me move to you in that regard. I know that's something, as we've talked in this program before, you've kind of looked at pretty seriously, at least in terms of developing the parks and developing a master plan for the parks and things like that. This sounds to me like this probably speaks to some of the goals you're trying to reach with the parks, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, this is exactly the kind of thing that we'd love to see in our parks. And when Melinda approached me with this idea, we're on board right from the get-go. So then it was just trying to find the right park to put this in.
Yeah, that's let me ask you about that next year real quickly. Talk about that process and kind of why you thought Standish Park here in downtown Galesburg was the best choice. And I imagine, I think when I said the words downtown Galesburg, I might have just answered my own question in part.
Well, you know, when Melinda and I were talking about this, there were a few parks that we had considered. Obviously, they have to have some kind of pathway or something like that. And so that did limit our choices. But Standish Park easily became kind of the best choice. One, the proximity to the library, because they're right there. We have paths throughout the park, but also brings people to probably the most variety of trees because it is an arboretum that we have in the community. So in addition, for those kids and anybody else walking the story walk, they have an opportunity to get back into nature a little bit and see the different types of trees that are out there and kind of identify with those as well.
I was going to say, it seems like that, Tony or Melinda or Tom, that, in addition to reading a good children's book along the way, you're gonna do a little bit more reading than just that.
Yeah, that is the hope. I mean, we would love to be able to bring in some of the actual information about the trees that we have in the Arboretum and find a way to kind of merge that with the story that we are presenting. There's all kinds of opportunities for what we can do with these message centers.
And Tom, go ahead.
I was going to say, speaking of merging, that's something in our Heart and Soul grants. And this is the first one we've done.
Yeah.
And these are maximum $5,000 grants. And we have the stewardship team. There's about 12 great people in the community that meet, you know, a couple times a month. And we'll be looking at these grants that go through the foundation through Tiffany Springer over there. So if anybody's interested, I'll get that piece in to see Tiffany.
I want to talk more about that. And you mentioned some of the goals that this helps define and solve, but I need to take another break first. So stand by on that, on all of that. We're talking with Tom Simpkins and Tony Eligny-Estill and Melinda Jones-Rhodes, and we're talking about something called a Story Walk Project, which can help get your kids learning to read in a pretty cool environment, I would say. We'll talk more about that after this check of local news and weather as Galesburg Live continues on this Saturday morning. I'm glad you're with us at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Thanks for joining us on Galesburg Live at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. I'm Will Stevenson. If you don't hear me during the day, you can hear me on Galesburg's Evening News Monday through Friday nights from 5 to 6 p.m., especially now that the holidays and basketball and things like that are less likely to preempt us. And I thank you in advance for tuning in. We have a lot of conversations every day, much like this one, but I'm glad to talk about this in more detail. An initiative called a Story Walk is coming to Galesburg and is being developed for Standish Park specifically, and that's through a grant that the Heart and Soul Project in Galesburg is behind. That's why Tom Simpkins is here. You know him as the former fire chief. You know Tony Eligny-Estill as the director of Parks and Rec for the city of Galesburg, and Melinda Jones-Rhodes from the Galesburg Public Library. You're the children's librarian, right?
One of a couple.
I couldn't directly remember your title, so until now I just I avoided it, but then here I just outed myself. So.
We're all kind of jacks of all trades over there, so it's fine.
Well, there you go. We appreciate all the work you do, that's for sure. And by the way, by way of disclosure, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that Melinda was responsible for broken party hats and party favors today, because we're taping this on Thursday, and it was my birthday on Thursday, so. You know, I'm summarily embarrassed, but now I'm the one in control. Nonetheless, but I appreciate you coming in, and I appreciate you doing that. You make a kid feel not quite so old here. Anyway, we talked before the break. Again, this the Story Walk Project is basically you're turning different parts of a book into sort of somewhat interactive displays, if I've got it right, that are going to be
put up
and posted in Standish Park, in this case, something that's worked in parks around the country that's finally coming to Galesburg. And again, the Heart and Soul Project is behind it. So, Tom, I want to turn back to you on that. We talked a little bit about it before the break, but first, you mentioned earlier there are goals that the Heart and Soul Project had that at least this project speaks to at least some of them, right?
Right. We have delineated eight values statements, as you will, through our work of 2 years of going out and collecting data through interviews and surveys and all kinds of methods in the community. We have thousands of data points that speak to eight values that we found out through community meetings of over 200 and some people. So we're pretty proud of those, and a lot of the grant process is about speaking to those values. That's what we want to see when people approach and say they want to do something. Say, well, how does that reflect the eight values, and as many as possible? And it's also good. Another thing is community collaboration is a big part of what we like to see. So mm-hmm. having Tony and Melinda with the library and the city involved, the more the merrier. We're all about volunteerism. So, yeah, the Story Walk speaks to education, which is a big value, reading and literacy. It speaks to being a welcoming community and having that small town feel that people told us over and over they loved about Galesburg. It speaks about town image, the family and togetherness of being out there on the path and reading as you're walking. Services and amenities in our parks, brings more people out to those. Having the concrete walking path, the access for people that might not be able to get out otherwise. And lastly, having things to do is a big value in Galesburg. Now, one of the other ones we're encouraging Melinda and Tony to think about is maybe doing something to speak to the history and heritage. So maybe some book in the future might be about Galesburg that the kids could learn things about Galesburg that would satisfy that value. So we have like six of the eight values, which makes this a fantastic project for us.
I want to get to talking specifically about the book in a minute. But Tony, I imagine as much as you would like to make every improvement under the sun to every park in Galesburg, you really, by and large, can't do it alone, and that's where the rest of the community comes in, right?
Oh, sure. Obviously, we prioritize the different projects and needs of the different parks and programs, but whenever we have an opportunity to collaborate with another organization, we always look forward to doing that. And, whatever we can do to be a part of making Galesburg better, we make every effort to do that.
That's fantastic. Melinda, let's talk about the book, or at least the development process of how you got to where you're getting or you're displaying the book that you'll be displaying, I guess.
Well, we have not decided on the book just yet. We've got a lot. Well, the really exciting thing about the Story Walk concept is that it's a permanent installation and it's customizable.
Yeah.
So we're going to be able to change the book out as often as we want. So we can do it monthly, we can do it seasonally, we can do it to tie into particular events or occasions happening in Galesburg. So we have a number of great children's books that we are considering for our kickoff book, but we have not decided on one yet. But this is something that we, you know, would be able to solicit community input on if there's a particular book that would make sense for us to put out.
That leads to my next question. Is there a sort of, I guess, a criteria for what you're looking at and how much of, you know, public feedback plays into it and to maybe what Tom said earlier or about, you know, speaking to the history of Galesburg and things like that?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of room for, I mean, we are the Galesburg Public Library. We are the community's library. We're here for our community. So we want to put in the Story Walk, just like we want to put in our library, what our patrons want to see and read. So we're, of course, going to want to be putting out excellent examples of children's literature, but there are so many of those that we are, it's exciting to know that we'll be able to accommodate a lot of people's reading interests and community interest with the Story Walk.
How soon do you think, in terms of whatever book you select to be the first that you use in the Story Walk, when do you think you might come to that conclusion? And maybe if all three of you could talk about a timeline here in terms of development and getting it ready to go.
Yeah, well, I don't know about the selection of the book. I don't know when we'll announce that. But in terms of putting the Story Walk in, that's going to be a lot of that's going to be up to Mother Nature, I think.
Yeah.
And Tony can speak more to what that would.
Gosh, Tony, entail. Mother Nature certainly hasn't always been your friends in the last year or two in the parks, has it?
No, not at all. In fact, we have three projects that we funded in 2019 that none of them started yet.
Oh, wow.
Because of the early winter we had. So, but in terms of the Story Walk, assuming that we have decent weather, the plan would be to install all the panels in the early spring, hopefully in April. I think is if we can get that done. So,
and how easy will it be, Melinda or Tom or Tony, to make this work? Is it just kind of printing a bunch of big, for lack of a better term, like printing a bunch of big sheets of paper and installing them, or how will that part work?
Well, we're not allowed for copyright reasons to actually, like, we, in order for us to be able to do a Story Walk, we have to use the actual published copy of a book. So
pesky
it will be
copyright laws.
So it will be, well, for every book that we display, we'll have to purchase a couple of copies of the book so that we could actually dismantle those books and install those actual pages in the message centers that we, as far as the work of installing and changing out the books on a rotating basis, that we'll figure out how difficult that is once we start doing it. I imagine it'll be like anything. It gets easier the more times we do
it. Yeah, I was going to say, I imagine that for some of these other places like Peoria where it's worked so well, it's probably become quite easy to do.
I think it won't be too much of a...
Do you see constantly using different stories or repeating stories or a combination of that as time goes on?
I think I have, and I imagine that I'm speaking for all of my staff in the children's department. We have so many children's books that we are excited to share with the community that it would be hard for us to do repeats because we're going to have a list a mile long of books that we want to share.
But then it could be pretty costly at some point or another if you're constantly introducing new material too, I'm sure.
It could be, but each Story Walk, I think, if we take out the idea of replacements, we're going to only need to purchase two copies of a book to make the Story Walk work. So I'm not necessarily concerned about the cost of the books. Now, if we get into any need for over the years replacement of the posts themselves, that could be some cost we have to incur later on down the line.
I would imagine that there might be a point where a kid gets so jazzed about a story they see on the walk that conveniently they could run right over to the library and get the book, right?
That's the dream.
Yeah. There you go. All right, I need to take one more break here and then maybe we'll wrap up this discussion and talk about some other things going on in parks and in the library with Tony Eligny-Estel, Melinda Jones-Rhodes, and Tom Simpkins as Galesburg Live continues. Thanks for joining us on this Saturday morning at 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. This is Galesburg Live on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. I'm Will Stevenson. In less than a half an hour, we'll talk with Ken Springer, president of the Knox County Area Partnership for Economic Development. But first, we want to wrap up a discussion about what's called a story walk. Basically, you, in the simplest terms possible, you blow up pages of a children's book and you mount it and display it in a park. And in this case, it's coming to Standish Park in Galesburg, thanks in part to the Heart and Soul Project, which Tom Simpkins is a part of this morning, and thanks in part to the Parks and Rec Department of the city, which Tony Eligny-Estel runs, and thanks in large part to Melinda Jones-Rhodes with the Galesburg Public Library for developing this and bringing the idea to town. I like hearing about things that work well in other areas that we can steal and bring to town. But, yeah. You know, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, right? So is there anything else that we should know about this project? It's grant-funded, administered through the Galesburg Community Foundation, Tom, but is there a vehicle with which that people can maybe contribute to the future success or the future development of this? How does that end of it work?
Well, I'm not an employee of the foundation, but I'm pretty sure if you called up, Tiffany or Carly or somebody over there, the great mm-hmm. people, they have all kinds of funds and methods of taking your money and earmarking it to whatever you want to give money towards. So mm-hmm. I'm sure that there's a fund set aside of some type to help the, you know, ongoing maintenance and the purchasing of books for this project.
Melinda, can somebody help out the library in that regard, keeping that end of it up too?
Or? Yeah, I would have to look into exactly what would go into earmarking a donation like that, but absolutely, I'm sure that there, if people want to contribute to this project, we'd be happy to help make that happen, of course.
And Tony, I imagine every now and then you get people that want to give money to, or in other ways help the park system in Galesburg, right?
Yes, we actually have restricted funds set up through Parks and Recreation for specific areas within Parks and Recreation. So if anybody wants to donate to Parks and Rec, they know that their money will go to specifically that area.
All right. So this we'll look for this in April or the springtime, weather permitting, and I look forward to hearing about what the first book will be, too, Melinda. That's
sure.
going to be you've got a gazillion possibilities
I
here,
do.
Right?
I do. It's going to be. I'm going to be super stressed out when I have to finally pick the first one. So much pressure.
There you go. Well, start now. Start slowly, and then you'll be ready to go by the time it's up and going, I imagine, or something like that, Tom.
I just want to take an opportunity finally to thank these guys for bringing this exciting project to us. Melinda and Tony is doing great work in the parks in Galesburg. He's doing it in a way that is kind of follows the heart and soul process of involving everyone. You'll notice that a lot of the work that's being done in town is not done in any specific area. You know, it's in all the different parks and all the different geographies of town, and
despite
I think
what
that's
I think,
awesome.
And despite what I think some people may believe, it's truly a community collaborative
really
suggestion. It's not just a bunch of crazy government people behind closed doors making all the decisions without any regard for what else the rest of the public thinks.
And if I might get one more plug in, you know, the Heart and Soul Grants, we have a specific, finite amount of money. So if people want to fund that through the foundation, to drive these Heart and Soul Grants. We've got another one we're working with, Tony, that we'll bring in and talk about another exciting project that's going to happen probably in the spring or
this
summer.
That does lead to my next question, at least for you. Where do you go from here now that you've got project number one up and being developed and almost ready to go?
Well, we're kind of sitting back just waiting to see what other grants, opportunities, applications might come to us. Again, we're working with Tony on a second one. We'd like to really get something in the arts area or something that's not parks, because we've been doing a couple of those. But, we're just waiting to hear and contact Tiffany at the foundation.
No better place to start than in the parks, though, right?
Yeah, great.
There you go. All right. Tony, let me turn back to you. Before we run out of time here, I wanted to let you and Melinda talk about some other things going on. Gosh, I feel so bad that you funded three projects for the parks this last year that the weather kind of prevented you from doing.
Well, they'll all get done. So, one just got started at the Amtrak building.
Yeah.
We're replacing the sign, putting up a shade structure for kind of the summertime. So that'll get finished this spring. We have another grant to widen and replace 500 feet of the existing bike path over at Lake Story, starting at the east boat ramp.
I know we talked about that on the evening program here a little while back when you were seeking some feedback and getting public comments from it. So it sounds like that's close to being coming to reality now.
Yeah. So the contractor will come back this spring and do that work. And then the city just received a grant through the Illinois Department of Natural Resources to put a bathroom facility at the West Boat Ramp.
Ah, okay.
So that is very exciting.
You
so,
just piqued Tom's curiosity there, Tony. Yeah.
Well, I'm getting older, Will. Yeah.
But, well, you know, that makes one of us.
Yeah. but oddly, that will be the only bathroom facility from the start of the west side of the path all the way to the pavilion. So that's like about a mile and a quarter that there's no bathroom. So
seems
we'll have
like
one.
Seems like a why didn't we think of this sooner type of a thing,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. So, but that's getting done. And then, you know, as Tom alluded to earlier, the Parks and Rec did receive a Heart and Soul grant as well.
Wonderful.
For the mobile playground.
That's great.
And so thanks to Dave's Auto Body for refurbishing, touching up the old Rescue 55 fire truck.
Awesome.
And then we're actually having it decaled right now. With that grant money, we're going to go purchase the equipment to put on that truck. And my staff and I are working on dates in which the mobile playground will go to the various parks this summer. From Memorial Day through Labor Day.
That's very cool. And Tom, that ought to make your old firefighter's heart feel pretty good,
oh,
right?
Yeah. And I think maybe we get some children's books on there, you know.
Oh, right, absolutely.
I seem to remember reading a lot of children's books about firefighters and fire departments when I was a kid. So there you go. That's very cool. So anything else? Gosh, you've got your department does so many things in terms of programs and educational opportunities and events that it really just kind of blows my mind how much you're able to do.
Yeah, I just really lucky to work with great people and so many great city employees. So we definitely do the best we can with what we have. But I know there's a few other grant opportunities coming up in 2020, 2021 for some larger things like possibly replacing the bridge and culvert along the existing Lake Story bike path.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The South Lake Story bike path, that grant is coming up at the end of this year, too. So we'll see.
And you know, I happened to, and I guess I wasn't supposed to be, but I found a pair of skates at the Community Treasures for $10. They were hockey skates, so they're very difficult to skate on. And so I did get out to the skating rink at Rotary Park.
Did you?
I think I was out there before I was supposed to. It was a red flag that I didn't really notice.
Oh, Tom.
But it was great skating, and some of my muscles were killing me at the end of the day.
Oh, Tom.
Never went down once.
There you go.
I would advise everybody when the red flag's not out there to get out there and do some skating.
You know, I could probably hear Tony's heart drop a couple of places because, you know, I think this is you're the reason maybe why we have liability waivers, Tom.
It could be. No, it's great. It's on the basketball court. I'll let Tony talk.
The weather, though, hasn't been very conducive to that either, except for maybe a couple of days.
Last year, the water never froze. This year, it was frozen for a week. but with the weather reports I'm getting now, hopefully by the end of next week, it'll be back open for a while.
I'm sorry. As much as I like the idea of ice skating, if it never gets below freezing here in Galesburg again, I'm a very happy guy. But that's just me. Speaking, though, of entities that do a lot of things and provide a lot of programming and educational opportunities for the community, gosh, the library and especially the children's department really kind of fits that need too, Melinda.
We keep pretty busy with programming from birth through adults. We've got tons of stuff going on all year round.
And maybe I know this because among my other duties as a sign here is our community events calendar at WGIL.com. But I just got a truckload of things from Melinda coming up. And I think a lot of things that, you know, maybe I don't want to say that they've maybe operated in the background without a lot of recognition, but things like a STEM club and you know, building things with Legos And gosh, mm-hmm. even just getting families together to read, it's amazing what all you're able to do.
Yeah, we try to have a little something of everything, and we try to have a couple of things happening every week, so there's lots of options for families who are looking for something to do together.
Give me real quick an idea of some things you have coming up.
Sure. Well, we are starting a new program. It'll be the third Monday of the month, so I don't have a calendar in front of me, but whatever that is. We are doing a program called Technology Together that's being hosted by one of our children's librarians, and it is a family program for families with school-aged children who are looking for a way to use technology together. Technology's not going away. So this is an opportunity for families to experiment with fun, free, educational, digital tools together with some guidance. It's not just a kid staring at a screen. It's something that families can enjoy together.
Still haven't completely figured out everything my iPhone does. But that's another discussion for another day, I think. But I imagine you could probably help me out with that,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, yeah.
There you go.
And then we do have in February, one of our really popular programs is our toddler Valentine's Dance, where we invite families with kids 5 and under to get dressed up in their fanciest clothes and come to the library for a Valentine's Day dance.
We
have punch and cookies and music, and it's a lot of fun.
That's
and
very cool.
Our full range of events you can find on our website, which is galesburglibrary.org.
Speaking of daddy-daughter Candyland ball for Christmas. That's always such a cool event. Must be that. I've said before, if that doesn't warm your heart, I don't know what will.
You know, I've always liked that type of event.
Yeah.
And then when I had my daughter, that became my favorite event.
Oh, there you go.
So, of course. Still do the chicken dance?
No, we actually
says Christmas quite like the chicken dance. Tom.
Our previous DJ retired, and so we had a new DJ for first time this year. But it went very well.
If I never am involved in a dance that has a chicken dance in it again, I will be a very happy guy.
Great stuff.
We might do one since it's your birthday.
No, well, by the time this airs, it will not be my birthday. So there's no reason to do it. There you go. See, I am in control. No, I'm kidding.
Great stuff.
All right, Tom Simpkins, Tony Alikney, Melinda Jones-Rhodes, thank you so much for coming in. We appreciate it, and thanks for everything all three of you are doing for our community. The Story Walk Project is, I think, going to be one of the coolest examples of that, for sure. Thanks so much to all of you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And thanks for the party favors, Melinda.
You're welcome. Happy birthday.
Thank you. It was my birthday 2 days ago. Stay tuned when we come back. This program was pre-recorded. When we come back, we will talk with Ken Springer of the Knox County Area Partnership for Economic Development. But first, news, weather, and sports as we roll into Hour 2 of Galesburg Live next on 93.7 FM and 1400 AM WGIL. Tom Simpkins just can't get out of the way of a good party favor. We'll be right back.